Morning.
Morning.
It is so good to be here. It's so good to stand before you to share some things from the Word of God this morning. Tim and I was talking before services started about numbers and congregation that has a lot of people. I was talking about a congregation my wife and I went to, I think when we first got married. And I took her to Los Angeles, California, the Figueroa Church of Christ. Had over 1,000 people. And I thought to myself, how can you have an intimate relationship with 1,000 people? How do you even know everyone's name when there's 1,000 people there? How does the eldership even function with 1,000 people? If you tell me today that Miss D is sick, I'm going to know who Miss D is. When Laura texted and said that WC was in an accident, my heart sank. But with 1,000 people, you can text and say, hey, this guy is sick. And I might say, well, who is that guy with 1,000 people? But the numbers that we have here, now, I would like for us to grow even more. I think we need more people here, but I wouldn't say 1,000 people. 1,000? We have about, I counted real quick, Bill. This is not official. If you're doing the count, I counted 41 people, but don't go with that 41 because I was just doing like that. But with 41 people, we can have an intimate relationship with one another. And I really believe that that's what God wants us to have with one another. I can tell you what some of y'all, I can tell you what your house looks like because I've been to some of your houses. That's an intimate relationship. Now, some of y'all haven't been to your house yet. I've been here 2 years. So that's another story. I won't even talk about that. But let's get on the ball. We need to be intimate with one another. We need to know one another. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The title of the lesson this morning is, why didn't the Jews believe Jesus? Why didn't they believe that Jesus was whom he claimed or whom he said that he was? In John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is referring there to Jesus Christ. We understand that. In the beginning was the Word, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. And Jesus was life, and in the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I think it's a curious thing, is it not, that the Son of God came to live among men, that he came to live among us. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was there in the beginning before the clouds were even formed, before the trees even had sprung up, before any flowers had even sprung up, Jesus Christ was already there in the beginning. And this same Jesus Christ came to earth so that he can be among us. In John chapter 1 and verse number 14, it says, and the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was among us. And yet he is rejected by the very people who had been expecting his arrival for thousands of years. Jesus, when he came upon the scene, it shouldn't have been a surprise to them, right? They were expecting Jesus Christ to come. In John chapter 1, verse 10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus Christ was born among the Israelites, a people that were chosen by God to know, to understand God's laws, and to whom God foretold the coming of his Son, Jesus Christ. Yet these same Israelites rejected the Messiah while he was in the world. Why is that? Why did they reject Jesus Christ? The prophecies that they read in Psalms chapter 22 and in Isaiah chapter 53 all told about the coming of Jesus Christ. It described there in Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering Messiah who would be persecuted, the Messiah that would be killed. But the Jews chose to focus instead on the prophecies that talked about the good things the prophecy that talked about Jesus being king. Those are the prophecies that they were looking at. They focus on, when Jesus comes, we're going to have lands and all of our enemies are going to be at our footstool. Those are the prophecies that they attach themselves to. But the ones talking about the suffering Messiah, that he would be persecuted and killed, no, we're going to stay away from those prophecies. And then when Jesus comes on the scene, then they want to attack him. I think there are several reasons. I'm going to mention a few reasons why I believe the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. And these reasons that I'm about to give, there are more reasons that you could come up with, but these are just a few that come to my mind. The first one is Jesus stated that one reason was the fact that the Jews did not belong to God. And somebody's saying, wait a minute, Kevin, you just said that the Israelites were God's chosen people, but now you're saying the Jews did not belong to God. Turn to John chapter 10 and verse number 26. John chapter 10 and verse 26. He says, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. This is being told to the Jews, to the Israelites. He says, you are not my sheep. The Jews laid claim to God, but the truth was they had not submitted themselves to the will of God. And that was the whole problem, submitting themselves to the will of God. They didn't do that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read verse 6, 7, and 8. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, Peter says, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, he's talking about Jesus Christ here, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Peter states that the reason the Jews stumbled over Jesus was because they were first not obedient to Jesus Christ. They were not obedient to God. They were not obedient to God's word. In the Bible, the ideal of obedience and belief are interwoven together. They're interwoven topics. Only in the denominational world are these two presented as separate ideals. But in the Bible, it is clear that you cannot have one without the other. For an example, I want you to consider these passages we're going to read. Turn your books, your Bibles to Hebrews. The first one is Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to read verse 18 and 19 there. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 18. The writer says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey. There's our word, those who did not obey, right? He says, so we see that they could not enter in because of why? Because of their unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Why did it not profit them? He says, not being mixed with faith, that's their belief in those who heard it. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 6, Hebrews 4, 6, it says, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter. Why? Because of their disobedience. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. And also in verse number 11, it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example. There's our word, the same example of disobedience. The writer of Hebrews smoothly shifts from blaming unbelief to blaming disobedience for the reason of not entering into God's rest. It is obvious that the writer views the two ideals as interchangeable topics. If you think for a moment, the reason I think is clear. Have you ever heard a person claim to be a faithful Christian, but then notice their life says otherwise? Perhaps they don't do the things that Christians ought to know are wrong. How can a person lay claim on faith when they are unwilling to surrender their will to the will of God? They have as if they do not trust God, and so they inevitably put sin ahead of God. Look at John chapter 3 We're going to read verse number 18 through verse number 21. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 18. He says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. When a person, what he's saying is when a person is disobedient, they prefer to live in a fantasy that God accepts them. And that right there really frustrates me when I see people with that type of attitude. When people know right from wrong, but yet still choose to do wrong, or choose to say an unflattered word, or choose to live in a way that's contrary to God's word. Then they say how much God loves them. They like to mention how grateful they are that God has given them grace. But they misunderstand grace. They misunderstand how grace is going to be applied to us. But they don't read about how God is a just God, and that God will bring judgment upon those who are sitting on the fence, those who are swaying back and forth. The Jews fell into this particular category. They were delusional. Jesus taught the truth to the Jews, and that truth exposed their delusion. Look at John chapter 5, verse number 37. John chapter 5, verse 37. It says, "And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe." He's talking about Jesus Christ. "Him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." A second reason the Jews refused to believe Jesus was because of their stubbornness. In Acts chapter 28 and verse number 24, it says, "Some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe." So there were some Jews who believed. There were some Jews who followed, but the vast majority of them did not believe. As we mentioned earlier, the Jews lived a delusion that God, that they had God's will all figured out. But back in Isaiah chapter 65 and verses 1 through 7, we're going to read that. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah says, "I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I, here am I, to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. A people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are the smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day." I would never want to be smoke in God's nostrils. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty bad. He says, "These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day. Behold, it is written for me, I will not keep silence, but will repay, even repay into their bosom your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore, I will measure their former work into their bosom." Because they were righteous in their own sight, they rejected anyone teaching them anything different. They rejected the teachings of Jesus Christ because they were righteous in their own sight. And that is why Paul said what he said in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. He says, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to anyone who believes." The problem was the Israelites rejected the facts. They rejected the facts and preferred to follow their own course. Israel missed many opportunities to enjoy the blessings of God because of their stubborn ways. The stubbornness kept the Jews from seeing the evidence of God working before their very eyes. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, let's read verse number 28. He says, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe. But tax collectors and harlots believe him, and when you saw it, in other words, when you saw the tax collectors and the harlots believing in Jesus Christ, he says, you did not afterward relent and believe. So these Jews, they saw the transforming power of God in the lives of the most desperate sinners, the tax collectors, the harlots, and it made no impact whatsoever in their lives. They kept their hearts as stone. Next thing that God, that we can read in the Bible in a related way, the Jews did not believe because they refused to understand God's teaching. Isaiah once mocked the Israelites concerning the silliness of idolatry. That same lack of understanding caused the Jews to miss the evidence that God had placed before them from the beginning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's read verse number 21 through 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He's saying that the Jews were looking for signs from God, and those signs were done in their very presence. But they closed their eyes to the very signs for which they claimed that they were looking for. It's like, I'm looking for this sign, but yet they put a blinder on their face and say, I don't see any signs. They were unable to recognize the blessing that they had among them. That blessing, of course, was Jesus Christ. Another reason the Jews did not believe Jesus was because God was not meeting their expectations. They did not understand God's purpose. A strong example of this is their rejection of the message of God when it became clear that God meant to save the Gentiles. There was a long history of animosity between the Jews and the Gentiles. The very thought that God would be willing to receive Gentiles as his people drove many of the Jews away. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse number 16. Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Paul says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, he says. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. It's talking about the Gentiles, right? I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Talking about the Gentiles. But then he says about Israel, he says, but to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. To put it simply, Jesus was not behaving as they expected the Messiah to act, so they dismissed the things that Jesus was doing. Look at John chapter 12, verse number 41. Our next point is that some of the Jews rejected Jesus because they feared their fellow Jews. in John chapter 12, verse 41. It says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." So why are we even talking about the Jews this morning and the reasons why they would not accept or follow Jesus Christ? The reason is because such a rejection of Jesus Christ continues today. The rejection of Jesus Christ is going on right now this morning. People will reject the message of God for the same reason the Jews rejected Jesus when he walked among them. People today don't belong to God. People think that God is not real. They can't see him. They can't touch him. They can't smell him. So he isn't really real to them. People want something to hold on to, so they rather put their trust in man or put their trust in themselves as opposed to putting their trust in God. You try to teach them things, then they become stubborn on you. They don't want to hear what you have to say. What you believe in is foolish to them, so they don't even try to understand God's word. And just like the Jews thought they belonged to God, there are many people gathering today who think that they belong to God. There are people gathering today who are worshiping God, who think they are worshiping God correctly, but they are not. God does not recognize their worship. God does not accept their worship. Then you have people who don't believe. They say God isn't meeting their expectations. You have people in the church who stop attending because the church is not meeting their expectations. So what do people expect today? Well, they expect to live their lives any way they want to live their lives. They want to be able to live together in an unmarried union. They want to have the S word with the people of the same sex. They want to lie. They want to cheat their way to the top. They don't want to obey the government or the laws that the government imposes because people say, "I have my rights." Some people do not think they need a savior. These people consider themselves to be basically good people and do not realize that they, like all people, are sinners and cannot come to God on their own terms. And so they reject Jesus Christ. They reject his teaching. Then, too, some of the Jews rejected Jesus because they feared their fellow Jews. Some today are just like that. The fear of social rejection or persecution deters people from following Jesus Christ. The unbelievers in John chapter 12, verses 42 through 43, would not confess Christ because they were more concerned about their status among their peers as opposed to being concerned about doing God's will. These were the Pharisees whose love of position and esteem of others blinded them. It says there, "For they love the approval of man rather than having the approval of God." Listen, the church is losing young people, I believe, at an alarming rate because Christ doesn't fit into their friend group. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, "There is no other name under heaven given men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ." So whatever the reasons why people reject Jesus Christ today, their rejection has disastrous eternal consequences. And it's up to us to let them know the consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ, of rejecting God. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, it talks about the outer darkness of hell where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's what we need to bring to people. That's what we need to teach people. We conclude this morning by acknowledging that we too could be just like the Jews, that we can fail to obey God's word. Even though we obey God's word, we can fall into the realm of rejecting Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to be concerned with. That's why we have to do what we talked about this morning, right? In our Bible class, we have to have courage. We have to have zeal for God. We have to allow courage to be our fuel as Christians so that we can win this battle, this war that's going on between us and the world, between us and Satan, between us and right and wrong. There's a battle. There's this darkness that's all around us this morning. And God wants the world to come into the light, but the world doesn't want to come into the light. The world likes the darkness because they think that their deeds are not being seen, but the word of God tells us that everything is going to come into the light. We might think something is unknown. We might think something is hidden, but everything is going to come into the light. So this morning, if you are subject to the invitation that the song is going to be sung, James is going to come forward and sing us a song. This song is to encourage us, to encourage you, if you're not a child of God, to become a child of God. To stop rejecting the word, to stop rejecting Jesus Christ. Because you have now heard what happens to those who reject the word, who reject Jesus Christ. If you're in this congregation this morning and you need the prayers of the congregation, we ask that you let it be known as well. So that since we are a really small, intimate group, we know each other by name, then we'll be able to call you by name and pray for you. That's what we want to do. The word of God says an effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So let us pray for you if you are in need as we stand and sing our song.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high.